Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Man, I think a lot about the late Ambassador Rooney, man, and how fired up he would be about this trip and how important the development of this trip was for him. And so I've been thinking a lot about it. I'm sure I'll be thinking a lot about it this week. And I certainly will be thinking a lot about him when we're there. Man, you talk about a guy that certainly had a lot of passion for Ireland and obviously the Steelers and, you know, serving as ambassador to Ireland. I'm sure he's going to be smiling down at us this weekend.
That seems like it'd be a fun job. Ambassador to Ireland.
I don't think you get paid that much.
I don't know that you get paid anything.
Oh, yeah, not at all, actually.
Yeah. But you get to go to Ireland a lot, shake some hands.
Yeah.
The last time I was there, he died. Dan did.
What year was that?
2017.
17.
I had been there for 3 days. And I mean, it was massive breaking news here. Massive breaking
news there.
I was in Ireland.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
It's kind of nuts, kind of weird to think about it that way. But I believe Mike Tomlin when he says he's thinking about Dan today. And I think this is a massive day on Sunday for a lot of Steelers fans and definitely for the Roonies. There's no question about that. And I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I think it'll be fun over here, too. Like you wake up, you don't got to wait. I remember being a kid and I mean, I was a loser, so I didn't have much going on in my life. And a 1 o'clock Steeler game, you wake up, you watch like the sports reporters, you watch NFL matchup with Merrill Hodge and Ron Jaworski, and then you'd watch the NFL pregame coverage, and it felt like it took forever. Now you wake up, maybe you have a Bloody Mary or a Brewski or six at 8 o'clock in the morning, get a nice buzz going by nine. Maybe a little buffalo chicken dip, maybe a little Irish breakfast, and bang, you watch your football team in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
I think we should play 9:30 games all the time.
I get mixed up because with college and then pro, like on a Sunday, I'll wake up and be like, oh, man, games start at 12. I'm like, oh, no, they don't. They start at 1.
No, you're all thinking, sit down, ready to go.
Ready to go. I'm like, oh, wait, I still got another hour.
I love whenever you got the 9:30 kickoffs here. And then
but they're usually bad games.
They're usually bad games, and I think this one's going to be a bad game, too.
It's more aesthetically pleasing, I guess. It's more visually pleasing than the Carolina Panthers and the New Orleans Saints or something like that, that the games that we usually get, or like the Giants and Panthers. It's usually the Panthers and somebody.
You're right. It usually is, like, let's export the worst game on the schedule that weekend to Munich or wherever. No, this is a game between two playoff teams from last year, two teams with winning records now. I think two teams that are likely to make the postseason this year. I just happen to think that Minnesota is going to beat the Steelers by 10 or more. I can't shake that feeling. And maybe it's recency bias because we just saw what the Vikings did to the Bengals. And because we just saw the Steelers create 5 turnovers and only win by a touchdown, perhaps it's the mystical powers of Brian Flores that have me hypnotized, or because I love the head coach of the Vikings. But I just think the Steelers are going to go over there, and I think they're going to lose to a team that I think top to bottom from a roster construction standpoint is just a better team than the Steelers.
Yeah, I can't get past the coaching matchup.
Yeah.
Coaching matchup is heavily in Minnesota's favor. And I think that that's where they're going to lose the game. Like, there's some great matchups to watch tomorrow or on Sunday morning. Jalen Ramsey, is he going to follow Justin Jefferson? Jordan Addison being back? Is Joey Porter Jr. going to be back to play corner and maybe, you know, who knows, be on the outside with Jordan Addison's on the outside, Darius Slay? There's a lot of good matchups. Was Aaron Rodgers going to play well, you know, against a team that he was thinking about maybe even joining? Carson Wentz, his resurgence. Can he be Sam Darnold last? There's a lot of great storylines.
Yes.
But the coaching matchups, I can't get past. With Brian Flores and Kevin O'Connell going against Arthur Smith, Terrell Austin, and Mike Tomlin.
You think there might be a little overload action going on Broderick Jones?
Yep.
And you're going to see dummy pressures. Yep. You're going to see all kind of stuff. And, you know, I don't know, and you would know better than me, I don't know that the offensive line issues have come down to missed assignments or anything like that. Seems like poor technique. I think this could be a missed assignments kind of game too.
Mm-hmm.
So you take the poor technique from Broderick Jones and then you start throwing the kitchen sink at him. And at least you have Sayamalu on the other side, so he's got a ton of experience. But I do think from an assignment standpoint, he's going to be tested and it's going to be on his brain as much as the physical gifts that he has that he struggled with these last, well, his entire career.
Mm-hmm.
412-928-9370. Texter writes in, a salary for an ambassador job starts at $125,000.
Really? Didn't know that.
I would do it for $80,000. If you could be ambassador of any country on the world, what country would you want to be the ambassador to?
Hmm. Any country. Probably Brazil.
Now, why would you say that?
I don't know. A lot of reasons why.
You ever watch the World Cup?
Nope. Yeah, we watched it in here, remember?
We did.
That was the only time I've ever watched it. No, that's not true.
It's a different time in our lives.
That was. We actually had fun then, that day. We're dancing, cheering. That was the only day we had fun.
You got something on you today.
What?
You got a different, you got an edge about you.
Do I?
I think you do.
Why?
I don't know.
At the risk of speaking, you sound like you got some extra spice in you.
He does.
Did anybody spicy. Ask you? I'm just kidding. I got extra spice to me.
A little spicy.
Edgy.
Edge.
So you watch the World Cup, and the camera operators for the World Cup, they know what they're doing.
And yes, they do.
Particularly when Brazil is playing. They will zoom in on a select few people. Mm-hmm. Harry, what country would you want to be the ambassador to?
Greece. So I got the half Greekness.
What's Greece the other beautiful. Half?
Irish.
You've been to Greece?
No, but I heard it's beautiful. Yeah. I know a lot of people have gone.
My girlfriend and I are going to plan a trip there in the next couple of years.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You're going to fly above the clouds.
Yeah,
I'm going to be way less afraid than you ever will be flying. Flying is safe.
Yep. You didn't play in any international games, did you?
Nope.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I did. Played in Toronto.
Against the Bills or with the Bills?
With the Bills against the Seahawks in 13 whenever they beat us like 51-6 in the baseball stadium.
But then didn't the next week you go out to Arizona and win?
No, that was whenever we went out to San Francisco, lost 51-10, then went to Arizona and we won.
You stayed on the West Coast for a couple
right.
of weeks.
Right.
And then you went out there and won. Oh, right. Man, that's wild. I knew there was a 50 burger dropped. A
couple.
Yeah. That's tough.
When Marshawn Lynch was just hanging out in our locker room.
They did a whole story on him on ESPN the other day in the Beast Quake, whenever he had that run against the Saints in the playoff game. And they cut out the part where he jumped through the air and grabbed his crotch.
Why?
I don't know. I thought that was a big part of the story.
Yeah.
Like, not only did I make this stadium shake to the point where it registered on the Richter scale, not only did I score one of the more memorable touchdowns in the history of the NFL playoffs, I told y'all about it while I was flying backwards through the air grabbing my Johnson. Like, that's a big part of it.
Yeah.
Avert your eyes, children. Can't possibly watch this. Get the hell out of here. Texter, Crowman, you'll love Yorkshire pudding if you've never had it. You ever had blood pudding?
I think so.
Nasty.
Think so?
It is, for me, disgusting. It tastes like blood.
Yeah. Ooh.
Yeah. All right. 412-928-9370. People are loving you giving it to Callis today on the text line.
Wait till tomorrow.
Oh, my God.
We usually have nice conversations when Crowley's gone. What are you, well, you just going to dunk on me all show? Is that the show?
Did I say me? You obviously have somebody that never forgets anything that's coming in tomorrow, and he's going to dunk on you more than me.
Oh, man. Bostic.
You know he can't wait to get back at you.
I made him upset last week.
Right.
Oh,
he doesn't forget anything. So.
Oh, gosh, I'm getting sick. Yeah, can I just take the rest of the week off? This illness.
Texas brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. You can tweet us. Brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Got sidetracked there. We'll go over a couple of Tomlin's comments, the noteworthy ones from yesterday's press conference. Lie detector test.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, I think we're moving good and moving in the right direction. Certainly there are areas of get better in all areas, run game, pass game, protection, division of labor, personality. But I like the general trajectory of all of those things that I mentioned.
The lie detector determined that was a lie.
I actually don't know that Tomlin was lying there. He was talking about the offense and the get better element, and he feels like they're moving in the right direction. I think he believes that. I think he has an unwavering faith in Aaron Rodgers, and they've scored on the first possession of every game. They scored two touchdowns, oh my gosh, in the first quarter against the Patriots, and then Rodgers has led them on two game-winning drives. So I think that the offense might have had its worst game because they were so bad for like 35 of the minutes against New England.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he believes that they're on the up and up. What do you think?
I think that he believes that. I think he looks at, I don't know if he's a big stat guy. He's definitely not a big analytic guy, but I know he sees that there was no sacks given up, and he puts that in the win column.
Yeah.
Even though, you know, it still didn't look great. We talked to Trey, and we all believe what Trey has to say in his analysis. I definitely do. But I think that Mike Tomlin looks at that and was like, okay, like that. And I would, too, like, if I were Mike Tomlin. If I were the head coach and, like, I was in the same situation Mike Tomlin's in and I'm looking at my team, how are we going to get better week to week? Like, I'd chalked it up as a win of no sacks given up.
Definitely.
Even though Aaron Rodgers was on the ground a couple times, but no sacks given up. Yeah, that's a win. That's a positive.
Yeah.
Like, we can build from that. Like, we're not just a total pile of you-know-what. We can build from that. So
excrement.
I think he thinks that.
I think so, too. And if I were to put on my black and gold glasses and I'm trying to view things optimistically, again, two game winning drives, the way they've started, the red zone conversion rates.
Yep.
I mean, they're among the league leaders in that statistic. Their turnover margin is good, which it has been the last 5 years under Tomlin. They've led the league in point differential on turnovers, which, like, that stops being an anomaly. I actually thought long and hard because you said the Steelers forced those takeaways. And I said, like a couple of them, they, to me, were more fluky. No, I got to stop doing that. Mike Tomlin's talked about the turnover culture, and there's a lot of reasons to criticize Mike Tomlin. They have protected the ball for the last 5 years, and they've taken the ball away the last 5 years. That can't, at a certain point, I just got to throw my hands up and say, you know what, Tomlin, you got it.
Right.
Like, and that's why you win so many of these games. That's why you're 10-7 every year, even though maybe the roster construction's not perfect. But as far as the offense is concerned, he also probably looks at it and goes, okay, we ran the ball well in the first quarter too. And he probably believes the time of possession element that he was talking about that we played earlier in the show. But my silver lining, my black and gold color glasses would tell me defensively, they've been banged up and they have a bunch of new pieces. Offensively, it's still pretty damn new. And I think maybe my view of the offense was tainted somewhat by the Jets game. because they put 34 points on the board and Rodgers threw four touchdowns. I expected them to start slow offensively at the beginning of the year.
You did, yeah, yeah.
I really did. And you're like, no, they're going to put up points. Guess what they did? They put up points. They're not perfect. They're not even close to perfect offensively. I think it's reasonable to expect that they're going to keep getting better. And I don't think they're going to average, what is it, 2.8 yards per carry running the football all year long. That'd be like historically bad.
Would we be talking the same way about the Steelers right now if they were had beat the Seahawks? Like if they're undefeated right now and say the Calvin Austin mishap was a touchdown and say Caleb Johnson never did what he did, they probably do win that game or they come close.
Yeah.
Let's say that they win the game. How are we still saying like they still have issues, you know, we're still not sold? Like would we be saying that, or would we be like, you know, this team actually has a chance?
That's a great question, because the phone lines have been flooded for days and the text line's been flooded for days, and I know you see it on Twitter too.
Because real quick, if Calvin Austin doesn't do that and say that is a touchdown, they do win that game. Aaron Rodgers throws no picks in that game because he doesn't throw that last one where he's throwing it up.
Right.
And his, you know, stat line is, well, how many picks does he have? Three?
Yes.
He has three. So maybe he has one pick, three or four. Does he have three or four right now? Does he have one in the Jets game?
He has seven touchdowns, three picks.
Yeah, so maybe he has one pick by now. What are we saying about Aaron Rodgers even more? What are we saying about this team if they're undefeated?
I think people have a hard time separating the now from the last 8 years, in the last 5 years. Like, I think, and I try to fight this out of me, but I try to analyze what I see. I think we're always waiting for that other shoe to drop. Like Starkey did his whole opening monologue yesterday on enjoy the moment. Like there are people out there that wanted the Steelers to tank, whether that's more or less people in the general public. I think it's probably less. He said, enjoy the moment. Enjoy this cool experience. Enjoy the fact they're kicking off at 9:30 a.m. on Sunday. Enjoy the fact that today they're in first place in the AFC North. I think you'd have more people willing to do that, yeah, if they were sitting here at 3-0, but I think you'd still have the naysayers out there that say, we're going to wait for Tomlin to screw this whole thing up. And I think both sides of it are fair. I don't know. Would you feel better about him at 3-0?
Maybe.
Because the way they lost was fluky as hell.
Right.
I mean, the Caleb Johnson thing hadn't happened in 45 years. Now, defensively, they weren't very good.
I'd have a little bit more faith going into this game.
Yes.
Because they're finding ways to win, and that's what good teams do. They close out games, regardless how it looks, even if it looks bad. Like, good teams find ways to win. That's why, like Buffalo's a good team because they found a way to win against the Ravens. Detroit, they're a good team because they found ways to, you know, beat and close out games. Whenever it says zero at the end, like, you figured out a way to make it a complete game, even if it didn't look good, but you won.
And particularly in September.
Yeah.
You find ways to win games now when you're not playing well and you might not even have an identity. That goes such a long way.
It does.
I don't think you win the Super Bowl in September, but you can certainly set yourselves back. And like this Baltimore
Chiefs
Kansas City game this weekend.
Yeah, right.
Buddy. I think it's a much more dire, now we're kind of straying, but that's okay. I think it's a more dire situation for the Chiefs because of the Chargers.
Yep.
But if Baltimore's there at 1-3, I heard Starkey, I heard the afternoon guys, they're all like kicking some dirt on the Ravens. And I thought we saw it last year, the same thing. They started 0-2 and the defense sucked and Derrick Henry started slow. I'm not willing to go there yet, but they're a favorite on the road against a banged up Kansas City team that I think it's their worst roster in Kansas City in years. Doesn't mean I don't think they're good or make the playoffs. They lose that game, I might start seeing it that way a little more.
Mm-hmm. I just wonder what has changed for the Ravens defense in the Ravens this year. Now, I know Derrick Henry is fumbling a lot, but the last year you knew that the defense was really bad and then Dean Pease came in and fixed it. And it was like, oh, okay, they just needed a different set of eyes. Now Dean Pease is still there.
Yeah.
How do they fix it now? And what has changed from last year to this year to make it so bad? That's kind of where I'm skeptical about the Ravens. Like, how are they going to actually fix it this time?
They got Chuck Pagano. What's he doing?
Right.
Oh, nope. He's already there. Senior defensive assistant secondary.
Marvin
coach.
Lewis.
Bring back Marvin Lewis. I mean, I do think that's a big thing in life. And I've used this analogy before. I could be sucking in school And then when the 9 weeks was over at St. Bernard's, you just you turn the page, you're on to the next clean slate 9 weeks. Like, that refresher helps. I think there's a placebo effect there, too. We could talk about what Dean Pease did for the Ravens from a technical standpoint, from an X's and O's standpoint, and how they used Hamilton.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's tangible and legitimate. But when you have a guy come in and you say, Zach, you're not doing this anymore, and all of a sudden, okay, we're a historically bad defense. Now we can flush that. We're a totally new defense. We're starting square one. I think that mentally that has a big effect.
Huge.
And they don't have that, like, pull the cartridge out, blowing it,
yeah,
sort of thing this year.
Right. Now, I do think that could happen with the Steelers maybe internally. When we talked about the run game earlier, it's like, okay, now they're not going to bring somebody in.
Yeah.
But I think Arthur Smith has the ability to adapt. And if it's not working, it's not working. To just literally clean slate after the bye week, we're changing the run game and how we approach it. Like, I think that they could do that if the run game doesn't do well on Sunday.
Yeah. If you're sitting there on Sunday and you haven't run the ball well against the Vikings, you got 2 weeks to figure it out.
Right.
And I do think that could provide a clean slate. 412-928-9370. That's a great football talk. We are rolling today.
Got an edge to me.
You got edge. Hard edge. Texter writes in, bullying is a serious thing, and my son's learning about it. And he just asked me, why are they bullying Harry? Come on, guys, do better. Bullying is very bad. Very bad indeed. And so I would tell your son that this is brotherly love.
I have great respect for you, Mr. Dickerson. I'm sorry for my transgressions.
What about Crowley?
No, he sucks.
Coming up next, what did Mike Tomlin have to say about his vanilla defense?
Are there things you've been holding back because of these injuries?
Certainly. But it's not just the injuries. If you're coaching and you're seeing around corners, certainly one injury doesn't get you off your game, and two, better not. But it's the injuries coupled with the fact that the players themselves are new in general. As I mentioned last week, man, all four of the secondary guys in that second ball game for us were new to the Pittsburgh Steelers. We got some new people. We got some attrition. You're doing what's appropriate when you take the game schematically to those that are playing. But I imagine the more we play, the more stadiums we step into, the less that discussion is significant, the more we're going to be able to expand our menu and do more things, and they be able to communicate and communicate with great fluidity and understand how we go about our business.
Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Mike Tomlin saying that because of the injuries, because of all the new guys on the back end, that the Steelers have been fairly vanilla on defense. And they played five guys in the secondary against Seattle, none of whom had played for the Steelers before this year. And then they played six guys in the secondary against New England that had yet to be Steelers. Look, there are excuses and there are reasons, and we know that Vrabel thought that the Steelers' defense was predictable. And you watch on third downs. I mean, there's a lot of predictability there. Do you buy the new guy thing? Do you buy the injury thing?
Yes, because that goes hand in hand with one guy. And I think it would look way different if that one guy was there, because he was the only staple that was really a general in the back end for the Steelers, and that's Deshaun Elliott. Like, if he was healthy and there was new guys, like, he can get guys lined up because he knows the defense. You know, and he played at a high level within this defense last year. Whether he played strong safety or free safety, whatever, doesn't matter. He's on the back end. He's a general. I think if he was still healthy, that this would look a lot different, because he could be the guy that understands what is being told to him, what type of defense, you know, Terrell Austin and Mike Tomlin want to be run on the field. Now you have Juan Thornhill, you have Chuck Clark, you have Jalen Ramsey, you got Darius Slay, you have Echols.
Jabril Peppers.
Like, those guys don't understand really probably the ins and outs of what the defense really is trying to accomplish here in Pittsburgh. So I do buy it.
I think that explains the touchdown the Jets scored that was the same one the Seattle scored. You know, different defenses are going to have different rules, blah, 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 right? What drives me nuts is when guys like Peyton Wilson don't know what the hell they're doing. And Patrick Queen. And I'm sure it's all connected, and the knee bone is connected to the... I don't know enough about bones. It dawns on me.
To the shin?
Maybe. Yeah. Head, shoulders, knees, toes, whatever. Like, I understand, like, that could be... You know, linebackers could have problems communicating if the secondary's not doing what they're supposed to do. And it's tough to always discern what the issue is. If they are dumbing it down, I would like to see less breakdowns.
Yeah.
Like, that's, like, we talk about Rodgers in game one in the big time throws. Like, you don't always need to make big time throws. And I'm trying to think back over the couple of games here, and like, I do think that Drake May played well. He wasn't fitting the ball into a lot of tight windows because he didn't have to.
Right.
There are guys that were open, particularly on those third downs. So my hope would be, like we talked about with the running game, and perhaps they'll change some things there. It's a theory you have that I think is a good one. Hopefully after the bye week, you got a couple of weeks, you're going to get bodies healthy. It looks like Deshaun Elliott's probably going to play in this game. I don't know about JPJ. They might wait because it's a hammy until after the bye week, but you got 2 weeks. I would hope to see a lot less miscommunication issues after that point.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a realistic expectation.
Yeah.
And they didn't play a lot in the preseason. And like, Jalen Ramsey, brand new when he walked in. Like, he had practice with the Steelers. His first practice, his first time as a Steeler was training camp. I'm willing to give a little bit of grace, so long as you're winning more games than you're losing. You start losing games because of it,
right?
And you're sitting there at 500, under 500, well, then I'm going to get pissed, if that makes sense. Coming up next, at 412-928-9370, ESPN Stats and Info's come out with the percentage chance for the Steelers to win the AFC North. Do we put any stock into it? We'll get to that coming up. Football Talk on the Fan, presented by Paramount Plus. Sylvester Stallone is back in the original hit series Tulsa King. This season, Dwight faces his most dangerous adversaries yet, forcing him to fight for everything he's built and to protect his empire. Watch the new season of Tulsa King, now streaming exclusively on Paramount Plus. Also, the 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. ESPN Stats and Info says the Steelers have a 20.3% chance of winning the AFC North, the Ravens a 71.9% chance, and the Bengals a 4.9% chance. The Browns, might as well include them, 2.9% chance. Does that sound too high or too low for the Steelers?
What they say the Steelers was again?
20%.
That sounds about right.
I agree with that.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
I don't think the Bengals have a prayer. And I think the Browns might finish ahead of the Bengals.
Maybe.
I think both offenses, I mean, the Browns' offense is really bad. The Bengals' offense doesn't have an MVP candidate. Which defense is better? I think leaps and bounds it's Cleveland.
Absolutely.
I think Cleveland's got one of the better defenses in the league, man. And that actually worries me. I know, like, okay, Ireland and the Vikings, and you want to focus on the here and the now, but I'm not chalking up two wins against Cleveland. You haven't been able to do that in recent seasons anyhow, but you go on the road there with that defense, the way that Myles Garrett's playing, the way that they're schemed up, I'm not banking just two wins.
Mm-mm.
I feel better about, and this is the kind of the filter I run it through, I feel better about beating Cincinnati twice than I do about beating the Browns twice.
Yes, yes.
You go out there, they're tough to play against. I'll put it that way. As for the Ravens, I'm not counting them out just yet.
No.
Now, you lose to Kansas City, and all right.
Well, that doesn't mean that they can't beat you.
That's the other thing, and that's probably the biggest thing.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what the record is. They still are going to play you. It's still going to be a split at best.
Right. You ain't sweeping the Ravens. No. You're not. Now, when you play them close, Harbaugh tends to lose to Mike Tomlin. But the last couple of times they played, they weren't close, including the playoff game, which was a two-score game that I feel like the Ravens could have named the score in that game. Like, that they only scored 28 points was more their decision, their choosing, than what the Steelers were able to do. Just real quick, let's say the Ravens do go on the road and gack it this week. Then another huge one coming up. Texans at Ravens with a desperate Texans team. Regardless of what the Texans do, they're 0-3 right now. They're going to be desperate, backs against the wall. And then it's the Rams. Check back with me in 3 weeks. Coming up next, we'll talk to Ray Fittipaldo, our great friend from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Fan weather is brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Today, fall. Feels like it's 71 degrees, low of 63, 80% chance of rain.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.